Would you pray with me? Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we would obey your will, share your grace, and show forth your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. It's in the middle of a dinner party that Jesus is having with the Pharisees, and he tells them several short parables, and this is one of them. Hear God's word for us today. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began making excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported all this to his master. Then the owner of the house became very angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house will be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.' The word of the Lord." It is so good to finally be here with you. The last couple of months have flown by since I candidated on June the 30th. We went back home, we packed up our house, we sold our house, we found a house here, we bought a house, we said goodbye, and now we are so excited to say hello. For the next several weeks in worship, we will be exploring this theme of welcome and hospitality. I picked this as a way to start out in worship because I saw it as a strength of yours as I got to know Crossroads. For those of you that missed the June 30th sermon, a bit of a recap. I wasn't looking for a new call. I was pregnant, having a baby, and quite content. And then this invitation came in my email from Nancy DiCibato to have a conversation. And I stayed open and started the conversation, and here we are. As part of discernment, candidates come and worship anonymously for a weekend and interview, and so on May 19, your confirmation Sunday, my family came and worshiped anonymously. To y'all, we were just a family of 4 with a 4-year-old and a new baby. And we were warmly greeted and shown a seat. And when John started fussing and was really hungry, the ushers helped me find a chair and a quiet place to feed him. One usher even offered to hold him and soothe him. I just felt so welcomed. This is your strength, Crossroads, and I am so excited to minister with you and get to know you. But before you can welcome anyone, you have to invite them. Invitations are key. And when you're new somewhere, as I am right now, an invitation can go from helping you to be an outsider to an insider, from becoming a stranger to being known. A kid rides the bus for the first time and someone says, "Hey, come sit by me." Or someone's having coffee during coffee hour and sees someone they don't know. "Hey, come get to know us. What's your name? Here's my name." Well, thank you for welcoming us so warmly. We have been invited to dinners, people have helped us unpack, and we have felt at home as a result of your welcome. But invitations come in many different forms, don't they? Some are formal. In the midst of moving this summer, I received a very important formal invitation to my dear friend's wedding. I was so excited. I knew she'd been engaged for a long time. We'd gotten to save the dates. And then we had to get our house ready to sell. And if you've ever lived in a home with a baby in a preschooler in show condition, you shove things into closets and boxes and bring them to a storage unit. Well, somehow, the invitation that I put in a safe place got lost. We unpacked it a few weeks ago. It was in a box with cookbooks. I lost my dear friend's invitation. I even lost track of the RSVP. And so finally, we had an email conversation and a phone call, and I had to send my regrets. It was right in the middle of our move. We couldn't make it to her wedding. She, being a dear friend, totally understood and said, "We'll see you when you can come see us." Well, we all receive any number of invitations, don't we? Not just to weddings, but to join things, to participate into the PPTO, to help with this event. And sometimes we receive so many invitations that it can be hard to prioritize them. There are so many pulls on all of us each and every day, and I feel this myself just as you do. There are any number of good things we can all do. But if we aren't careful, our priorities can drift, and we can lose sight of the most important and essential invitations. And that's what Jesus is talking about today in our passage from Luke. He's telling a parable all about invitations. The context of our parable is important. If you look back a few verses at the beginning of chapter 14, we learn that Jesus is telling this story while having dinner, a banquet, with the Pharisees. Rachel Yates preached on that portion of the passage a couple of weeks ago. And the Pharisees think they're more deserving of God and God's love and favor because they keep the law perfectly. They're the type A letter of the law folks. But in their pursuit of the letter of the law, they have missed invitations. And they have ignored or forgotten the most important invitation of all, to love God and to love neighbor. Now, parables are never what they seem on the surface. In fact, they're invitations to pay attention to something new. Jesus knew that the best teaching comes from stories with memorable characters who play on our stereotypes. All right, so we have just a few verses. It's a really short story. But is it all right if I do a little bit of Bible study with y'all this morning? Okay, so we're at a banquet table. Jesus is with the Pharisees, and he mentions the kingdom of God and banquet yet again. It's easy to imagine a banquet because they're there. The setup is where they are, but there's a twist because it's a parable. A person has a banquet and invites everybody, and no one comes. Now, it's not uncommon to extend an invitation and to receive some regrets. My friend learned that from her wedding. And the reasons given are legitimate. We learn that one person says no because they're checking out a piece of land. Another person can't come because they have new oxen that they need to work. Now, for us, as modern-day hearers, we might think that seems like a flimsy excuse. Why would you miss the invitation of a lifetime to tend to your oxen and to tend to your land? But to the Pharisees hearing this story, this would be a legitimate reason to say no, because these families' economic security depended on them working the land and knowing their oxen. All right, so then the third person says they're newly married. Again, the hearers of the parable would not have been shocked to hear this. In fact, at that time, if you got married, you were exempted from a lot of things in culture, including military duty. That's not the twist in the parable. The twist in the parable is what happens next, how the host responds. Now, typically, if you have folks saying no to a banquet, you just keep going through your Rolodex or your Facebook contacts or your phone, and you invite people in the same social circle until your banquet table is full. But this host does something different. This host sends his servant out to find particular people, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Fill my house with anyone and everyone. And that's the twist. The host goes outside of social norms and invites anyone and everyone to the banquet. Except they're not just anyone and everyone. Jesus is very specific with the groups he's naming as he tells this story. The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame are not random categories of people. They are specific groups of people in Jesus' society that have been cast out. The Pharisees have persecuted or ignored these groups of people, and they're the ones that the host wants at this dinner party. They're the ones who have been ignored but who say yes. And so what we have at the end of the parable is a scene with a full banquet table, because the crippled, the blind, and the lame, and the poor come, and then everybody else. The table's not full with those folks, so the servant goes out to the town streets and cries out and says, "All y'all, come." Do you use that word here in Wisconsin? It's very efficient. But isn't that just like Jesus? Jesus takes our preconceived notions of what's proper and right, and he flips them on their head. And in the meantime, he stretches our concept of welcome and invitation. Now, the wedding banquet is a metaphor for God's kingdom, not in the by and by, but here and now. And so in this moment, when Jesus is telling this story to the Pharisees, he's saying, you have one idea of who should be participating, and you're excluding a whole bunch of people. In fact, you're missing the big picture. You're missing the banquet, because God is inviting not just the perfect, those that you don't think should be here, Pharisees, but everyone. So Jesus is saying in this moment, expand your vision and expand the invitation. That invitation is issued to us today as well. Jesus invites us to come and be fed. It's perhaps the most important invitation we can ever hear and respond to in our lives. And it's a reckless invitation. It's reckless because it goes against all of our notions of how to host a good dinner party, but also how to be a society. We live in a world where boundaries are constantly being put up, where people are saying you're in, you're out, whether it's at school, at work, in the larger world. And what Jesus is saying here, what the gospel calls us to, is a more expanded vision, where we want to put up a barrier. Jesus and God say, lower it. Come, come to the table. The good news of the gospel is that we can come as we are, but once we sit at this table, we will be transformed. Jesus wants us to come to the banquet and taste and see God's love and grace, but then leave that table and live differently because we have experienced that grace. The beauty and challenge for us today is that we don't have to do this alone. Look around you. It's a pretty full sanctuary today. There are folks here willing to walk beside you as we live into this gospel call to welcome. Now, it's my first Sunday here, and as I said to the kids, I'm a little bit nervous. Nervous and excited and ready and willing, because God invited me to come here through the will of this congregation. And so, as we begin our ministry together, I have an invitation for you. Will you consider making room in your life to grow deeper as a disciple this year. Now, maybe you've been coming to Crossroads for a long time and you already know how you're going to connect. And maybe you haven't been for a long time and you're thinking, I'm going to check this Susan out, and if she's good, maybe I'll come back. That's not the invitation. The invitation is to join together at this table and be fed. We've got a lot of tables where you can be fed here at Crossroads. One of them is this Wednesday evening. It's not just for kids and not just for parents with kids. Wednesday evening, the program staff is revamping so that everyone can come and have dinner together and be fed, and your kids can go to Delta and Scooters, or you can go to a class, or you can just sit in peace and quiet and have a cup of coffee in the lovely space we have here at Crossroads. We invite you to participate, to come, to join, to be fed. Maybe God's invitation to you, though, is also to slow down, to find some margins in your life again. Sometimes making room for God means you have to say no to some things to find that margin. There are invitations around us every single day. And so the question for you is, how will you respond to God's invitation? In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.